Okay, we at the end of Tuf Nun Zayin, I thought we finished, but then I realized that we missed the last line of the Ramah in Orach Chaim Tuf Nun Zayin. The last line of the Ramah Tuf Nun Zayin, which is going to take us into the last Sif in Simen Shin Chav Dalad, which is the Simen that we skipped when we did Shin Chav He. So we're going to do the end of Tuf Nun Zayin Orach Chaim and move right into the end of Shin Chav Dalad and then start from the beginning of Shin Chav Dal. So the last line of the Ramah over here in Tuf Nun Zayin, Yesh Omrim, the Mutter B'Yantiv Lalush Pachos Mikeshir. Some say that on Yantiv you can need less than a shear, K'dei Lifter Atzom in a Chala. So you won't have the whole issue that we discussed regarding how you mafresh Chala on the first day of Yantiv. We had a whole discussion, the Mishnah, Daf Mem Vav. And over here, the whole Machaber and Siv Beis, how are you mafresh challah when you bake matzahs on the first day of Yontif? What do you do with the challah? So some say that to avoid that problem, you can purposely do it, need less than a shear. The Mishabur over here at Siv Katan Chav Gimel says, B'Yontif Shev Pesach, Uba Bira Gra, Mefak, because the Gra is not excited about this heter. So this story goes back to the Gemara in Pesachim, Adaf Memches. And there, Rav Yosef says, Hani Noshi Didon, our women, Nohug Lemeifa Kapiza Kapiza Lepisra. When it comes to kneading dough on Pesach, nowadays no one would do this. You don't knead dough on Pesach. You play with matzah meal and cake meal with matzah stuff. No one takes regular flour. Okay, but in those days they were baking matzahs on Pesach. So the women would do it kapiza kapiza, a little bit at a time. So Gemara continues, Amar Abaye, my daitach l'chumra. So why are you doing that? You're doing that to be machmir. You're doing it to be stringent, Rashi points out, so that it won't become chametz. The less you do, the less likely it becomes chametz. So you do smaller amounts. Says the Gemara, says Abaye, chumra da'asi de kulahu. Your chumra of making sure it doesn't become chametz, but it's a chumra that ends up being a kula of leniency. They come mafkala mechala, because you are uprooting the mitzvah of hafrashas chala. Meaning you're avoiding putting yourself into a situation of doing the mitzvah of chala. In the beginning of the third parak in Yushalmi of chala, there the Yushalmi says the same thing. Aser lasos isoso kavin. You're now going to make your dough kavin, and I think it's the Pnei Moshe of it on the side. Fills it in, kavin, kavin, the poetry mechala. You can't specifically do 1 kilo at a time so that you don't come to an obligation of hafrashas chal. Okay, so what the Ramah is telling us over here in Tuf Nun Zayin is that, okay, usually you shouldn't do that. But on Pesach, you have a good reason to do that. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down that the Gra is not convinced that you have such a good reason to do that. So the Taz over here, the end of Tuf Nun Zayin, the Taz points out, if you're doing Pachas Mekishir, you should do it only one time. Do one batch, 1 kilo of flour. But if I do 1 kilo and then do another 1 kilo, what can happen? We already learned the whole sugya in Shin Chafev, Tzir of Sal. It can end up being together and then becoming Chayev. So says the Taz over there at the end of Tuf Nun Zayin, Peir Vesu Lo Yolosh Klal. And then you should not need any more dough. Because if you do, it can end up coming together and it'll be Chayev and you won't be Mafrish Chal. So there's a Sefer, there's a commentary on Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Pesach called the Chok Yaakov. Very thorough, very juicy perish. He brings down the Taz, and he doesn't like it. Okay, maybe in Eretz Yisrael, he says you want to be machmir, maybe. But he says in Chutz La'aretz, so the whole thing is Durabanan anyway. It's a far, what are you afraid of? It's going to get mixed together? Go ahead, get mixed together after it's baked. So then you'll be machmir shchala when the chiyav haparasha arises. He doesn't really go with that. He doesn't appreciate that Taz exactly. Now let's see this. The last simin in Yardei Shin Chav Dalet. In Shin Chav Dalet, Yud Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Shin Chav Dalet, Yud Dalet, says the Shulchan Aruch, also lazel is also pachos mikashir. You're not allowed to make your dough less than a shear kedei lafkia mimenu chiyuv chala, to uproot from yourself an obligation to be mafresh chala. It means you only be mafresh chala on a certain amount, let's say whatever it is, 1.2, whatever it starts at, with a bracha, without a bracha, which we'll get to at some point. So I'm definitely doing 1 kilo because I don't want to be mafresh chala. That you're not allowed to do. The Taz over here, the last Taz in Shin Chav Dal. No, let's look at the Shach. The Shach, the Shach in Shin Chav Dal. Sif Katan Chav He. Sif Katan Chav He. Very end of Shin Chav Dal. That's dafka kedei lepocha ka'amar de asur la'asoso. Oh, you're not allowed to make a kilo of flour if your whole intention is that you don't want to be mafresh chala. Avalam ein lo kemach shir chala. All I have is one bag of flour, a kilo of flour. So pshita, obviously, the mutter la'asoso lo chala from the pshita. Obviously, I'm allowed to make 1 kilo of flour. The whole point is, his kavon is dafka, he doesn't want to be mafresh chala. Now, nowadays, there's really no reason for someone to want to do that. In the olden days, the person was cheap. He's a cheapskate. He doesn't want to take off 1/24th and give it to the kohen. But nowadays, we don't even separate 1/24th. We the minig is a kezias. We say even less than a kezias. Maker didn't even a mashahu. So there's really no reason for a person to do this, you know, dafka, because he doesn't want to have to be mafresh chala. Continues the Shach, we come akum nagua nashim lahadir b'kol erev Shabbos achar shir chala. We and the dafka do the opposite. They only need 2 chalas and they dafka do a full fledged shir chala. They want to be mafresh chala with a bracha, special tefillah, and everything that's involved with the special mitzvah. It's a special mitzvah, dafka for women on erev Shabbos to bake chala, or whatever, bake bread and be mafresh chala. It's something dafka women go after. That's what we just did. This by the Pesach, when it comes to Pesach, Yesh Lalush Lachatchil Yisod Ktana Pachos Mishir Chala. So in Tofnun Vav, here's a Tofnun Zayin, I think it's Tofnun Vav, Tofnun Zayin, talks about Dafka doing a smaller amount. When you're baking matzahs, do a smaller amount, so you don't have to worry about the Chala. But afterwards, you're going to put it together to yourself, put the matzahs together to create the Chiyav Chala. So there you have the best of both worlds. You're avoiding any possibility of chametz by using small measures, small amounts, making small amounts of dough. Smaller it is, the easier it is to work with, and the less likely it'll become chametz. That's great. But you're not ducking the mitzvah challah, because after it's baked, you're going to put the matzahs together in a basket and create a chiyuv of hafreshes challah. Now, there is still an inyan to be mafresh specifically from the dough and not the finished product, but when it comes to matzahs, where time is of the essence, so there, it's okay to be mafresh from the final product, even the chatchila, and even the chachil to do smaller amounts, and then you should put them together in order to create a chiyuvcha. That's what the end of the Shah says over here. Then you pass the yesh lolosh lechatchila isot tanot, small isos, Pochos Mishir Chala, the Achagach Yitzarfin Bikli, then you put them together for a tzir of Kli in the same basket, La Frish Man Chala, to be Mafrish Chala. So the Chalkas Binyamin over here at the end of Shin Chavdal, he has a whole discussion over here. Now, let's first get to Halacha L'maisa. So, in my house, it seems we have a mixer that makes the dough, like, you know, not like the good old days where, you know, the women were kneading the dough with their hands and the whole Shayim Tisadayim taking off the ring. You have a kneading machine, right? We have, I thought they call it a mixer, whatever they call it. Right, you have a kneading machine. The kneading machine only holds a certain amount. So you end up making a certain amount. That certain amount is not a full shear of Hafrashas Chala. That's what it seems is the story in my house. So what they do is they use the kneading machine. They might make 2 or 3 batches, and assuming they're planning on making challah, whatever, Shabbos bread, we'll call it, avoid confusion. I'm turning all 3 batches into Shabbos bread, so it's all going to be the same thing. So then they'll put it together, squeeze it together, in order to create a shear of a fresh challah from the actual dough. In the Deer Shoe Shulchan Aruch, he basically says, if you have any reason whatsoever is this? He brings in, I think it's Nun. Aliba the Hilchos of Nun in the new Dershir Shulchan Aruch, he says Rav Chaim Kanievsky brings this down Derech Amunah. I didn't see that. I looked at Derech Amunah, but not after I saw it over here. So I didn't see it over there. But I believe him. From the Mikdash, perhaps from the Mikdash Ma'at, that if I'm making smaller amounts because it's just easier to work with. So if you're making smaller amounts, it's easier to work with, that's also okay. What's not okay is my intention is to duck the mitzvah of a fresh chal. That's not okay. Any other good reason, it's okay. And once you plan on combining them afterwards anyway, so there's nothing to talk about because you're going to get the best of both worlds. Now this Isser, the Chalkas Ben Yamin over here discusses, he has a suffix. Is this an Issa D'oraisa? Or is this an Issa D'rabbanan? And he brings down from the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Shin Pei Vav, and from the Chazon Ish, it sounds like it's a Din D'rabbanan. Not to prevent yourself from going into the Mitzvah of Hafrashas Chala. And then he gives us a very good Gemara Makomah. So the Gemara Psachim on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis says that seven people that are Menudin Lashamayim, they are excommunicated from heaven. So first it says someone who doesn't have a wife. Then it says someone who has a wife and doesn't have children. And Tosfos writes, what do you mean he doesn't have children? That's not his fault, he doesn't have children. So Tosfos says, no, it's his fault. He makes sure that he doesn't have children. It's not that he tries to have children, obviously. It's not in our hands to have children. That's a matana from Hashem. But someone who definitely doesn't want children, and he makes sure that he won't have children, so he's menuda l'shamayim. Then it says, someone who has children and does not raise them to be the Talmud Torah. So he's Menuda Lashmai. Then it says someone who does not have tefillin on his head and on his arm. Someone who doesn't have tzitzis on his baguette. Someone who doesn't have a mezuzah on his Pesach. So Tosfos over there clarifies that we're talking about someone who doesn't, not someone who's trying to get married but can't get married. Someone who's trying to have children can't have children. Someone who, Shia, he doesn't want them. Then he says, when it comes to, now, I don't fully understand Tosfos, and I didn't go further to look around, because he combines tefillin and tzitzis. And tefillin and tzitzis are not exactly comparable, because tefillin, there's a mitzvah, there's a chiyuv to put on tefillin. The tzitzis is more, if I have a four-cornered garment, I have to put tzitzis on it. But if I don't have a four-cornered garment, I'm not 100% obligated to put on tzitzis. So here he says, tefillin and tzitzis, he has them, and he doesn't put them on. That's why he's excommunicated, which I assume he's answering. That's the guy, he's on Gilligan's Island. He's stranded on Gilligan's Island, no tefillin. No tzitzis, no tefillin. So it's not his fault. So then obviously he's not menudah l'shamayim. They want to have children. Lo aleinu nebo, they have no children. So it's not their fault. That's not what we're talking about. Then he says, he doesn't have tefillin, but he can find them. He can get them. But he doesn't. And he's not on Gilligan's Island. He goes, I don't have tefillin. Okay, go to shul, borrow tefillin. Go, yeah. He doesn't try too hard. Again, it's hard to compare. I don't know why he compares tzitzis and tefillin. Then he brings down a Gemara Sotah. That Moshe Rabbeinu, Gemara says, why was it so important to Moshe Rabbeinu to go into Eretz Yisrael? Why, he really had to eat the delicious Israeli dates and Jaffa oranges? What was so important for Moshe to go into Eretz Yisrael? He wanted to keep mitzvahs of Tulis Baretz. He didn't go in for the Gashmias of Eretz Yisrael. He didn't want to go to the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. That's not where Moshe wanted to come here. Moshe wanted to come to fulfill the mitzvah. So you see, a person should go after fulfilling mitzvahs. Moshe's not obligated. He's a chutzlarts. What's so important? Nachayim. Okay, yippee, off the hook. No, you should desire to fulfill the mitzvahs that you can fulfill. So Tosfos brings down that Gemara Soto Yudalev about Moshe. But we should try to keep mitzvahs. Then there's another Gemara. This is a famous Gemara, Menachas Daf Mem Aleph, where a Malach came to Rav Katina. Rav Katina did something to avoid mitzvahs tzitzis. It wasn't chayiv. Again, a person not inherently obligated in tzitzis. But he took his beged and he did something to it, whatever the story is over there, that he wouldn't be chayiv in tzitzis. So, then if Katina says, it's a mitzvah saseh, it's not a chiyuv. So you're going to you punish someone for not doing a mitzvah that they're not obligated to do? So the Malach answers, yes. At a time where Hashem is be'idan rischa, when Hashem midas hadin is angry, he punishes even for those mitzvahs that you're not obligated to do, but you could do. But you opted not to do it. I don't have to wear tzitzis, Rabbi. You don't have to wear tzitzis. That's true. But that's what the Malach was telling Rav Katina. But you have an opportunity to wait to this, and you just don't because you're not interested. So are you punished for that? Well, when Hashem is in Idan Rizcha, Hashem is angry, Kavyachol, whatever that means, the time of when Midas Hadin is out in the world, so then yes, a person will be punished. So now, it's not clear, the post, whenever this the idea comes up, the post can use very like vague terminology. They don't say, okay, that applies by tzitzis, and it applies over here by challah also. You could be mafresh challah, you're specifically making two batches and not putting them together because you don't want to do challah. So is that included in the same Gemara Menachos Mem Aleph that the Malach said a person gets punished for not bringing himself into the chiyah to do the mitzvah like mitzvah of tzitzis? You don't have to do it, but you could do it. You don't want to do it. So that Hashem punishes the idan rizcha. Do we say the same thing about challah? So in Chalukas B'Yamin, he says maybe. And I've seen this Lashon also. It's like not clear how far you extend that. The Gemara says it over here by tzitzis. So how far is that extended to other things or not is not 100% clear. But what is clear is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to want to keep mitzvah. So even if we don't, we're not chayiv in the mitzvah, we should not do tricks to get ourselves out of doing mitzvahs. We're supposed to want to do mitzvahs. And that is the din over here that we're learning about a fresh eschala, that a person shouldn't go out, it's usher to go out of your way to make sure that you don't have a shear of a fresh eschala, unless you have a reason to do it. The recipe doesn't call for so much, I don't need so much challah, there's no, you have to bake more than you need. Again, women are righteous and they bake more than they need so they can do a shear, that's beautiful, but that's not what the halacha mandates, so that's not necessary. So that is the end, the real end of the Ramah in Tafnun Zayin, and that is the last Sif of Yerodeh Shin Chav Dalet, Sif Yod Dalet.